Make your way to Matthew chapter 25. We continue our series in the parables. This morning, the parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25 in your Bibles, starting in verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered me 2. Here, I've made 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, I have what's yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and I gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have at least invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own, but with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who was not or has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, it's NCAA, right? Amen? I don't talk about sports a lot. My wife says, be careful. I know I'm a big sports guy, but not everyone's a sports person, so I don't always use those as illustrations, but I'm going to use it today. Those of you who are competitive in sports or other things, the reward of winning can be very motivating. The feeling of accomplishment for your hard work and your dedication. Some, though, get rewards by cheating to win. Duke Blue Devils. New York Yankees. Chicago Bears. Some brag. Talk smack. And they can make it so unenjoyable, those winners, for everyone else, they make you feel like such a loser. Some people get rewards that, frankly, You don't think they deserve them because of those types of things. So when God's word talks about rewards, we often have a hard time understanding this because sin has corrupted even good things, like rewards. Also, I don't know about you, but the fact that when we are in heaven, that seems like that's reward enough for me. And yet, that being said, the Bible teaches that there are rewards for those of us who know Christ and we are faithful on this side of eternity. Living in obedience, finishing our race. Jesus promised various rewards to those of us who are faithful to serve Him on earth. His apostles talked about it. Jesus Himself did. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Rejoice, Jesus says, and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, that's the foundation of salvation in Christ alone, he will receive a reward. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, work heartily unto the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. And finally, in the very last book of the Bible, Jesus tells John, look, I, Jesus, am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. This has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is not a work, something you can earn, something you have to do to earn all of it. Salvation is by grace through faith. This has to do with the rewards of following Jesus faithfully. Those of us who know Christ as our Lord and Savior. Some of those rewards are kind of interesting in the Bible as I was looking at. The Bible calls them crowns. John mentioned it in Revelation regarding the 24 elders. In Revelation 4, the 24 elders fall down before him, meaning Jesus, who is seated on the throne, and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne. It's part of the vision that Jesus gave John. We see the disciples kind of understood this. James talks about it in James chapter 1. He says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, the believer. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. And again, Peter would say it. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown. And again, in the last book of the Bible, John was given the vision where Jesus says, I'm coming soon, hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The elder's response from chapter 4 is most likely the way all of us followers of Christ will respond when we receive the reward from Jesus, which is, I don't deserve this. Take it back. Right? The fact that we're in heaven is reward enough. And yet, he's going to give you a reward for your faithfulness. Amazing. One thing to consider, too, regarding rewards for following Jesus, these rewards aren't a competition. We're not in competition with one another, Christ followers. We are on our own walk, our own race. We ought to cheer each other on. So let's take a look at the parable of the talents the rewards for faithfulness. Matthew 25, verse 14, the man going on the journey is Jesus. Again, this is all written in his last discourse, the Olivet discourse, many people call it. It's the final words before he would go to the cross. And he's speaking about end times, when he comes back. And so when the man is going on a journey, he's making that reference, the fact that he's leaving. But he's going to come back. The servants in this verse are represented like they are of the bridesmaids last week. These are made up of people who profess Jesus and those who actually possess Jesus, genuinely. And by the way, the word servant here Jesus uses is the same Greek word that Paul uses describing himself. You see it in Romans chapter 1, but he pretty much does it in every letter he writes. I am a doulos, a servant. Same word used in the parable. So these servants are those who profess to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, knowing that some of you don't possess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. A talent, you see in verse 15, a talent, although is not like your talent, like I'm a good at something, a talent was money-based. So when he's talking about talents, he's using that as an analogy to our gifts and abilities. And so, but you do need to understand a talent is money-based. Five talents, if this were gold, in present money, in present money form, five talents would be considered $5 million. Two talents, $2 million, $1 million. So a lot of money. The idea here is that each of us are given various abilities. Some five, some two, some one. That's what we see in that verse, according to his ability. You are given a certain number of talents and gifts and abilities. That's the idea here. Just some examples of these gifts, these talents, these abilities. We see them in Scripture. Romans chapter 12 says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, to speak truth, to speak the word of God to someone, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving, serve well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Peter talks about certain gifts. He says, Peter's written to encourage the believer throughout the known world in Turkey and areas about the testimony they're supposed to be. Well, he says each of you has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. This parable explains our responsibility. When I say our, I would say a follower of Jesus Christ. Our responsibility to use the gifts and talents that God has given us until he comes back. That's the idea of this parable. What are you doing with what God has given you until he comes back? He wants us to be faithful. Faithful with your gifts, your abilities. The idea is that you are a steward and you are trustworthy. You are someone that he can definitely give his gifts and abilities to, and it will always point back to the gift giver, God. This parable is about being faithful right now, not in the future. It's not even about what you have done with your gifts in the past. Jesus is talking to you right now. Our opportunity to use our talents, our gifts, our abilities for the Lord is now. Some of you have five. Some of you have two. Some of you have one. These talents are spiritual in nature, but they're also natural. They can include the stewardship of things like your time. Maybe musical gifts. Maybe you're an artist. Photography, computer, electronics, counseling, baking, letter writing. These are these things I've come up with of people that I've just been blessed by. Letter writing, giving, driving people to camp. Hospitality, cooking. Maybe your education, your profession. None of us in this room are empty-handed. Maybe you got five. Maybe you got one. The volume doesn't matter to the Lord. We'll get to that. So let's see what they did. So we have first the two wise servants. The wise servants of their talents, of their abilities, of their gifts. Look at verses 20 through 23 and just keep these verses up there. When he had received the five talents, he came forward bringing five talents more. You gave me five, I brought five more. The master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I'll give you much more. Enter the joy of your master. And he also who had two talents came forward and brought two more. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. The two faithful servants put their abilities to work. Although the amount of the talents was different, notice this, five and two, they both got the same commendation. So those of you who think, well, I can't do very much. I didn't get five. I just got one or two. The number doesn't matter. Jesus commends the use of your abilities. Let's look at the encouragement from the Lord for these wise servants. The first thing he says in verse 21 is, and verse 23 is, well done. Those of you who are dads, this is kind of like one of those dad moments. When you see your kid or you hear about your kid doing something good and you didn't see it. And somebody comes to you and says, hey, Moses did a great job. And you're like, oh. I mean, I'm happy for Moses, but as a parent, It's like that, well done. Don't you want to hear that? He's proud of you. The Lord is proud of you using your abilities and your talents. He says, good and faithful. Well done, good and faithful. This is the idea of praise. He is praising you. I can't believe this. He deserves all the praise, amen? And yet he praises you. He praises you for your faithfulness, for your trustworthiness with the talents and the gifts that he's given you. Praise? How humbling. Then he says, I will set you over much. You've done such a great job. You're getting promoted. What does that mean? I don't know. I wish I did. I think these are the things that we cannot grasp on this side of eternity. Because there's nobody in heaven complaining. There isn't condemnation in heaven like, what were you doing? No, it's just praise. But he is going to commend you. And we'll be standing right now. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. We'll be cheering each other on. We don't know what that's like on this side of eternity, because sometimes we see people get like, you know, Duke wins. We're like, ugh. I'm not celebrating that. I'm a Carolina guy, sorry. My team lost. Then he goes on, he says, enter into the joy of the master. This is that, this genuine rest. Those of us who have abilities and talents, it is hard work. Every one of us with talents and abilities, using them on this side of eternity takes time, it takes effort, and you get tired. And he's saying here, you finally get a rest. I mean, the kind of rest you don't get in Florida. This is a non-sin-cursed rest that's only found in Jesus Christ. Notice it was the faithfulness of the servants that pleased Jesus. Not the amount. They both received the encouragement. Don't worry about what other people are doing for the Lord, big or small, because Jesus is looking at the hearts, not the amount of service. I don't get a bigger reward because I yell a lot. It's a spiritual gift. But let's look at the unwise servant. Verses 24 and 25. He also had received the one talent, came forward and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. He didn't do anything with the abilities that God had given him. That was his sin. Instead of using what God had given him, he gave excuses. It was as if he was telling Jesus, I didn't lose your talent. I was just keeping it safe. Excuses. The talent was given to him according to his ability. And he was too afraid. When we are afraid, we will never succeed at anything. We don't try. I worked in sales, believe it or not, for many years before God called me to be a pastor. And one of my favorite teachers in sales always told me this, and I'm sure he heard it from somewhere, but he said, Greg, he said, the answer is always no if you don't ask. I learned that in sales. The ones that struggled in sales that didn't last long were the ones that struggled to even ask because they didn't want to get rejected. I tried to date a lot of girls, so I was very comfortable with rejection. Praise the Lord had the right one for me. Look at how this unwise servant describes God our Savior. Verses 24 and 25. He also who received the one talent came forward and saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. This is somebody that really doesn't know our Lord and Savior, does he? Follower of Jesus Christ, is that how you would describe Jesus? The idea here is he doesn't even know this man. These are people that talk about God. They talk about Jesus. They say things about Jesus that aren't true and are not backed up by God's word. I don't care what they say. They are an unwise servant. They offer their opinions. But in your mind, follower of Christ, don't you wonder, do these people even know the Jesus of the Bible? What they're saying? Would the other servants say, yeah, this man, he's a hard man. No, they knew the man. This unwise servant, he didn't know the Lord. Which brings us to Jesus' rebuke. In verses 26 through 30, again, but his master, Jesus, answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed? Question mark. Do you know me? I don't think so. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have at least received my own in interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has, will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus condemns the stewardship of an unfaithful servant. A professing follower of Christ that doesn't possess Jesus Christ, because he doesn't know him. He could have at least invested into someone else. I think of missionaries. Listen, we got a grant from a guy that's no longer living because he wanted his money to go to church plants sharing the gospel. Invest at least in a legacy for the gospel. We don't bring anything with us materially. People are eternal. Invest in them. Verse 30 says, there's no pat on the back for this guy. Every time Jesus uses this outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, he is always referring to someone who is going to hell. This isn't a believer who wasted his talent. This is someone who doesn't know Jesus, who has been given an ability and doesn't use it to the glory of God because he doesn't know him. Again, the picture here is of someone who has not trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And everything that has been given to them, they've never invested to the glory of God. Okay, so that's our parable. Let's run through a couple applications here. We got the faithful servants. What can we learn from these faithful servants of Jesus? Number one, step out in faith. Use your gifts. We all have them. Gifts and abilities, spiritual and natural. Be a good steward of what God has given you. Period. Some of you, God has given more abilities and talents and gifts. But the volume doesn't matter. It's the heart by which you use them. step out with your gifts and your abilities and share Jesus with somebody. Speaking of High Point basketball, and I'm not talking our church league team. Anybody have High Point going all the way? They lost. But did you hear the story about Chase Johnson? He wears the number 99. Now, those of you who are in basketball, that is not a number people pick. But if you listen to Chase's story, and I love it because we're in the parables, and he shares the fact, well, let me have him share why he uses number 99. Is that our internet problem?
It has everything to do with Jesus leaving the 99 to find the one. I was trying to find any other way to share the gospel, and 99 came to my mind. Of a lot of people will ask, it's a random number, it's a unique number, not a lot of people wear it. So I chose that because there's two parables in the Bible where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he gives a story of a man who has 99 sheep. He leaves those 99 righteous sheep to find that one lost sheep that went away. And he finds more joy in finding that one lost sheep that came back home than the 99 that remained righteous. That's the gospel, right? That we are all sinners. We are dead in our sin, and Jesus Christ left the 99. He went to the cross humbly. He became a slave for us, though he was God. He did not take up equality with God. It's something to cling to, and he died on the cross for our sins. And so that's like the whole backstory. 99 represents our calling as Christians to go out and proclaim the gospel to the lost ones, and the gospel that Christ went to the cross and died for us, so.
I love that he plays for High Point. Step out. The reason we love to see things, the reason I love seeing things like this as Christ followers is they're unashamed. Some of you work in very dark places. Why do you think you work there? Paycheck? Or is there an eternal reason? When I worked at Dun & Bradstreet, again, that sales job, I went out after work and got drunk a lot. Partied with my coworkers. Then God saved me from my sins. So what did I do? And again, I'm not a hero here. I wasted more opportunities than I had. But I do remember very shortly after I asked my boss if I could share my testimony of what Jesus did for me. After he picked up his mouth off the ground, he said I could not share inside the walls of the building. But if I wanted to use the courtyard, I could do it out there. So what I did was I invited all of my coworkers to a potluck outside. Everyone bring food and we'll share. What they didn't know is that I was going to, after we were done eating, stand up and share what Jesus Christ did for me by forgiving me of my sins and putting my faith and trust in him. I got dirty looks. I lost friends. But I was on cloud 9. I wanted to be used for Jesus in any small way. I'm not on CBS making a winning shot, but I would hope that if I did, I would share exactly like him. How about you? Where has God given you abilities and talents? And how can you use them to glorify God? Finish the race. Keep going. Look forward to that wonderful conversation, that commendation, where he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I love what the author of Hebrews says. says in chapter 12, he says this, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Amen? We have people in heaven cheering us on. Someday we'll be in heaven cheering us on too. Don't compare. Don't compare. 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. God did not commend the total talents. He commended the faithfulness. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are not wise. Unwise servants. So let's look at these unfaithful servants, these professors, but not possessors. The idea here, though, is twofold. If you are not a follower of Jesus, you cannot work your way to heaven because you don't know him. You need to get to know him. Jesus, the Son of God, died for your sins. He rose from the dead so that he could give you victory and eternal life. But you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner and that your sin put Jesus on the cross. And no good work, no balance in the sky is going to save you but Jesus' work on the cross. I don't care what age you are. If you are relying on anything other than what Jesus did, you must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You have been given abilities and talents, and you don't know Jesus. Get to know him so then you can use him for the glory of God. Trust Jesus for your salvation. But listen, if you are a follower of Christ, this ought to be your wake-up call. The abilities and gifts that God has given to you, be faithful. Get to work. No excuses. Steward the abilities and the gifts that God has given you. If you're a believer in Christ, there ought to be no excuses for not doing anything with what God has given you. Use it to the glory of God, and there will be joy. It's not punishment to give back what God has been faithful to give you. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reminder in this parable, once again, how faithful you are, Jesus. You have given us the most important gift, and that is eternal life. And our lives are lived as a thank you back. We're given talents and gifts, abilities, and we want to use them for your glory. God, I pray that your church in Altoona, would be the most generous people with all of our gifts and talents, that we wouldn't hold back, waiting. No excuses, just sold out to the glory of God. God, give us wisdom and grace to walk with you and finish our race. And all God's people said,
amen.
Let's stand and sing a final song.